Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Let's read. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, in this particular passage, of course, we're dealing with the subject of prayer. And the subject of prayer in the Bible is a vast subject. There are many, many passages in the Bible that are about prayer. So what we're going to do, we are going to do a series here. We're just going to park in these two verses. And today and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to deal with subjects of prayer. And even Monday of next week, we're going to deal with subjects concerning prayer that come from this passage. So often in dealing with these subjects like we do, we go basically from verse to verse and topic to topic, because eventually we'll cover everything. But the subject of prayer is so vital and concerns us such a great deal today as Christians that we ought to deal with it in great detail, and so we will. And today what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the conditions of prayer. The conditions of prayer. That is, you know, what does the Lord require of us? What are we supposed to do in order to benefit from or realize the promises that are in prayer? Now, first of all, let's notice this, though. He says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. The context is this. Jesus has been talking about going to the Father and coming back again. And so what he's talking about here in verse 23 is, in that day, that is, in the day that I'm gone with and up there with the Father and you're here, you shall ask me nothing. What you're going to do is you're going to ask the Father in my name, and he will give it you. And he said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Why? Because they've talked directly to God and have not seen the need or understood the need to talk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they're going to talk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says it's a promise. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So today what we want to do is look at the prayer conditions, or the conditions of prayer. And the first one that shows up in this text is very simple. Ask. Ask. Notice what he said here. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, ask. The great failure in prayer, more than any other, is not asking. That's the great failure in prayer. It's been said before. I don't remember who said it first. It was quoted to me by several people that I've heard them preach, but it bears repeating, and that's this. Prayer is not the last extremity. Prayer is the first necessity. So often we wait until the disaster is upon us, and then we start praying, oh my God, get me out of this mess. Should have been talking to the Lord a long time before the mess ever started. That's the great failure in prayer, is just failing to ask. Now look in Matthew chapter 7, when the Lord deals with prayer there. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 7. The Lord says this, ask, comma, and it shall be given you. In other words, it's not going to be given you if you don't ask. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Good example, the Lord's not going to give you Jesus Christ unless you ask him. Somebody said, you know, I mean, that's just one more of those examples of where this thing concerning Calvinism is off, where God's going to hit you in the head with irresistible grace and you're going to get saved, but your neighbor, who's not one of the elect, is going to have to go to hell, even though Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world. It's just too bad, because before the foundation of the world, God said no. See, it's not like that. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Jesus Christ is a free gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You ask, you're going to receive. It shall be given you. But the great failure of people is failure to ask. Ask these people, are you saved? Well, I go to this and that church. Well, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to save you? Well, no, I never thought about it. Well, no wonder you're not saved. You never asked. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and look at verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Watch it. You fight in war, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Now, years ago on, I believe it was on Focus on the Family, they had an interview or a testimony from a lady named Jenny Christensen. And I happened to hear that interview, and in that interview, she was talking about her husband paying back gambling debts after he got saved, and the family nearly starving to death on pea soup. And they had one daughter, and their daughter was concerned why they didn't ever have anything more than pea soup. And the lady had been given a tract, and the tract said, you have not because you ask not. So she decided to start asking God for better provisions, and they decided to ask God for a chicken. And really, before their husband or her husband had gone to the store to buy the little bit of sausage that they cut up in the pea soup for their special Sunday meal, her brother had come from a farm and brought her baskets full of vegetables. And she thanked him profusely and then asked him where the chicken was. And he said, how'd you know about the chicken? She said, well, where is it? And it was down in the bottom. Actually, there were two of them down in the bottom of a basket that he had brought from the farm. You know why they got the chicken? Because they asked for it. So often people will call the church and they'll say, do you have a benevolence fund? We need to pay our light bill. We need to pay our rent. We need to pay our food. We need to pay our medicine, something like that. And I'm just amazed. They don't want God in their life for anything. They don't want the church in their life for anything. They want to have nothing to do with God. But the moment they can't pay the rent, the first place they call is the church. You know what they should have been doing? They should have gotten saved a long time ago. They should have been faithfully attending a church, and they ought to have been talking to God for a long time. Please, God, take care of our bills. And even now, they don't turn to God. They turn to people. They call us at the church and say, would you pay my bill? Talk to God. Ask. That's the first problem. The second problem is you got to ask the Father. You got to ask the Father. Look in verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. You got to ask the Father. Why do you ask God? That's what I'm saying here. These people want to call and talk to the church. Well, we're just a bunch of nobodies trying to do what little we can. We're unprofitable servants doing only that which was our duty to do. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, you've got to ask the Father. That's where the good gifts come from. In Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples about prayer, we talked about it there in Matthew 7:7, but look in Matthew 7:11. Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God is the provider of the good things. They come down from the Father of lights, from above. You ask the Father, and he'll give you the good things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, again. Be not ye therefore like unto them, that is, people that are praying stupid stuff. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So the great thing about God Almighty, he already knows what you need. He has everything you need. Like Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He already has all your need, and all he's waiting on you to do is ask him. People, you know, they'll get into trouble, and they'll pick up the phone, and they'll call their girlfriend, they call their boyfriend, they call their mom and dad, they call their brothers and sisters. They go everywhere but to God. And honestly, the place you need to go whenever you have a need and you have plenty every day, and so do I, the place to go is to God the Father. Now, some people say, well, you need to go to the priest, or you need to go to the pastor, or you need to go to somebody who is knowledgeable of these things. Listen, God is the one that has all that you need. He's got every good gift. He gives good things, and He knows exactly what you need, even if you don't know how to ask Him just right. So the first thing to do, the first condition of prayer, is to ask, and the second condition of prayer is to ask the Father. Now, this is silly that people would ask Confucius, who's dead. They'd ask Buddha, who's dead. They'd ask Muhammad, who's dead. They'd talk to Allah, who does not exist. They talk to their priest, and they talk to Mary. Mary is not capable. Mary, you read one passage in the Bible where Mary can answer your prayer. There's no place. She cannot, she will not, she is incapable of doing so. You'd talk to ask the saints. The saints can do nothing for you. Those are all the wrong places to go. You want something done? You talk to God Almighty. Say, well, I don't know Him. Well, I've talked to Him. Then you get to know His Son, because that's the third condition. He says, first of all, ask. The second condition is ask the Father. And the third condition is to ask in My name. Look again in verse 23, John chapter 16. In that day you shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Honestly, I was listening to a radio broadcast the other day. You know, when I'm in my car, I'll flip on the radio to see what the other guys are doing. And really, there's some good stuff out there. I don't agree with it all. I know they don't agree with all of what they hear from me, but I don't agree with it all. But there's some good stuff out there. I'll tell you, honestly, if you want to hear some pretty good sound preaching, that program that Adrian Rogers does in the afternoon, that's good sound preaching. You want to hear something to stir your heart up for God? That old-time broadcasting stuff that's still done by Lester Olof, that's good stuff. Now, you know where I stand on the Bible, and the guy that I'm going to mention to you right now doesn't stand on the Bible where I stand at all. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that are paying a lot of money to see Christian counselors. You don't need to do that. You want some Christian counseling, personal Christian counseling, you listen to Charles Stanley. He uses modern Bibles. I won't go there. I think it's weakened his preaching. I think what it's done is made him more of a counselor and less of a preacher. That's my opinion. But I want to tell you something. If you are suffering from emotional needs, that's a good place to go to hear preaching. Right there. But I'm going to tell you something. You can also get in a lot of trouble on the radio. And honestly, I was listening to a broadcast, and this guy is about 75 to 80% right most of the time. But he's got two or three doctrinal things that throw him way out of kilter with that book. And one of them was when somebody called him the other day and asked him on the radio what he would do about praying in Jesus' name, he said there's no formula of praying in Jesus' name. That's just made a statement there, but the truth of the matter is you just talk to God. There's no quote-unquote magic or quote-unquote necessity to pray in His name. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to show you a couple of verses here. You go check the Bible out yourself and see what it says. But one of them right here in verse 23 says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Look at John chapter 14, verse 14. John chapter 14, verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in My name. You see that? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In My name. Now that's three times. Why would you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Acts chapter 4 says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The power of this preaching, the power of this gospel, the power of this book, and the power of your prayer are in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for some guy to get on there and tell you don't need to say anything in His name, he's pulling the plug on your access to God. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Now, you call some business and you say, I'd like to talk to the owner, and you name who the owner is. And they'll say, may I ask who's calling? You give a name that they don't recognize, you're not going to get through. you're not going to get through. He might call you back, but you're not going to get through. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've been recommended to that guy by the name of an associate of his who knows him of good reputation and good recommendation, you say, you call for the owner of the company, say, I'd like to speak to old so-and-so, and the secretary says, may I ask who calling? And you give your name, say, but he doesn't know me, but he was recommended to me by, and you give the other fellow's name whom he knows very well, you're liable to get through right then. Why? You've got the right name. You've got a contact. You've got a presence. When you come in there and you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are excluding all other names in this world. You're excluding the names of the false gods. You're excluding the names of the saints. You're excluding the name of Mary. You're excluding the name of Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, Allah, everybody else that's out there that somebody else has a name of some strange god. There's no other name that's going to get you through the gates of heaven and into the throne room of God Almighty other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not leave that out of your prayer. That's one of the conditions. If you ask in my name, I will do it. So the first condition is you got to ask. And if you haven't been praying enough, get you a little piece of paper, make you a list of some things you know, if you can't think of anything you need, that you know other people need, and get to praying for them. And when you pray, you talk to God Almighty. And when you talk to him, you tell him that you're talking to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because you're expecting to get some action based upon the promises he laid down for you in the book. And if some guy on the radio wants to talk you out of praying in that name, don't listen to him. Disregard him in that area. He's wrong. You got to ask. You got to ask the Father. You got to ask in my name. And another thing you got to do is you got to believe. That's another problem. You got to believe. Now watch this thing. He said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. But watch. Turn over to Mark chapter 11 and look at verse 24. What's the use of asking him if you don't believe he's going to do it for you? You say, well, ooh, that takes a lot of faith. Well, the more you pray, the stronger your faith is going to be. The more you read the Bible, the stronger your faith is going to be. The more you put into practice the thing God's tell you to do, that's the more you're going to believe. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. I say unto you, I'm in Matthew, excuse me, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Here's what he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now that's very important. Believe, see, that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Look in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 says it again, same way, just recorded by Matthew in his gospel. Matthew chapter 21, look at verse 22. All things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Well, what's the deal? You know, I mean, you're going to go to Jesus and say, I believe you're going to give me $1 million. And since I believe that, I'm going to get it. Who knows? You might. But don't forget, he says, you lust and have not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. There's another condition there, see. There are a lot of people that run around like that. I believe God's going to give me $8 million. I remember that scam years ago. Or kill me with a heart attack. You lust and have not, and kill and desire to have, cannot obtain, fight and war. You ask, receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lusts. What is the deal? James chapter 1, verse 6, he says, when a man asks, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you are going to take time to talk to God about something that you expect him to be able to do, you lay it down in your heart based upon the words of God that he's going to do that thing and count on him to come through. That woman said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I can get healed. And she never wavered. She walked right up there and touched that thing, and she got healed. You're just going to have to believe there's nobody else that can take care of it but God, and he will take care of it if you talk to him, talk to his Father, ask in his name, and believe that he can do it, and he will do it. And you want to do these things. Another condition is that this stuff will be done for God's glory. As I said, not to consume it on your own lusts, not on your own lusts in James chapter 4, verse 3. There's lots of people that are doing that. Man, I believe in this prosperity thing. I want God to give me a Cadillac. What for? So everybody can see you got a Cadillac? Maybe God wants you to have a Cadillac. But then again, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he wants you to have a Volkswagen. What's wrong with a Volkswagen? If you stick the key in it and run it, I drive one, works fine. Stick your key in it, run up and down the road, works fine. Just fine. Now, the next thing is, it's got to be for God's glory. Look at John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So often prayers are prayed and God doesn't get any glory whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you, it's a great thing. I love our Wednesday night services at the church because I'll commonly ask the people who would like to brag on God. And I'm telling you, there's never a time goes by that people don't have something to brag on God. And you know what they're bragging on? They're saying so-and-so was sick in the hospital. We prayed. God got him out of the hospital. He's healed up now. So-and-so was facing surgery. They did the little thing. We prayed. He got out of the hospital earlier than than the doctor had said. He didn't have any infection. So-and-so was having a trouble with paying a bill. We prayed. God took care of the bill. So-and-so was lost. We prayed. He got saved. We prayed for traveling mercies, and they got over there and got back without any incident, over and over again, always. And you know what that is for? To give glory to God. David said, call upon me in the day of, when he was writing these psalms. There's a psalm of Asaph, Psalm 50, verse 15. The Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So one of the conditions of prayer is to make sure that the thing brings glory to God. Honestly, if God's not going to get glory out of it, you're not going to see anything in the way of answered prayer. Not much. Going to be feeble, weak. All right, here's the next thing. It's got to be asked according to His will. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You say, well, what's God's will? Read the book. God's will is throughout that book from Genesis to Revelation. Read every bit of it. And you'll get a better handle on God's will than you'd ever have just sitting around with your thumb in your nose trying to figure out what God wants you to do. You'll see God's will clearly, plainly stated in there. Even Jesus Christ, His own Son, went into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed to the Lord that He would be able to escape that cup. Take this cup from me. But then He said, not as I wilt, but as Thou wilt. He prayed in accordance with God's will, and it's not inappropriate to pray in accordance with God's will. The reason is you don't know what God's will is. One time a lady had a young son. She prayed desperately that God would heal him up. God did. The guy ended up, when he was 17 years old, being a dope addict and a murderer, and she had begged God when he was still innocent. Then she said, I wish God had killed him when he was a baby. You know what she didn't ever ask God? She never asked God, God, spare his life if thou wilt. If for some reason, God, something terribly bad is going to go on like it did, God, take him now while he's still innocent that he may spend eternity with you. I can live past the grief. But she never prayed that way. So praying in God's will is a good thing to do, particularly when he says, you know, you can have your petition when they line up with God's will. That's a certainty, man. There's absolute confidence in that because it lines right up with God's will. And then finally, he says this. In Psalm 66, 18, these are conditions for prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18, he says this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. People say, you know, I'd pray to God, but man, I hadn't talked to Him in so long. You know what's happened? They have regarded iniquity in their heart. And so what they've done is they've cut off the fellowship that they had with God, and the road back seems to be very long and very arduous and very tough and very much in despair. And so they spend a great deal of time licking wounds and asking for forgiveness and all these other things, and really it's a terrible thing. Don't regard iniquity in your heart. Don't regard iniquity in your heart. Now, here are the conditions restated again for you. In our text of John chapter 16, verse 23, the first thing God said is ask. The second thing the Lord said is ask the Father. Now, you don't be praying to anybody else. Don't worry about novenas and rosaries and all that other stuff. You go and prayer cards and all. You go straight to God the Father. You talk to Him. Somebody said, I don't know how to talk to God the Father. Talk to Him, man. If you were in a house that was burning down and somebody was outside and you know they could rescue you, you'd say, help! Well, why can't you just raise your face to heaven or bow your face before the Lord and say, help! It's a good prayer. Peter was falling into the water. He said, save me! What's wrong with that? Ask the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you do that, believe that that God will take care of it. Do it for God's glory. If it's for your own lust or your own glory, forget it. It ain't going to happen. That if it does, it'll go worse for you. It'd be better if God hadn't answered it anyway. Ask according to His will, and don't regard iniquity in your heart. Now, hear him again. Ask. Are you going to start praying? Ask the Father. Quit worrying about all these others to talk to. Ask in Jesus' name, and when you talk to Him, believe that He'll do it. Make sure that you're asking for God's glory. Make sure that you're asking according to His will. And make sure when you ask that you're not regarding iniquity in your heart. Now, I'll tell you what, really and truly, this is my admonition to you. I know from preaching on this radio that the great majority of my listeners, our listeners to this radio broadcast, are already saved. I know that because we'll offer a strong invitation for people to receive Christ, and oftentimes we don't get a phone call. You're saved. But you know what? I also know about Christianity. Christians have left off praying for the television and the movie theater and the newspaper and their favorite magazine and social engagements and things and entertainment. And so consequently, there are a great number of people who need you and I praying for them that are not being addressed before the throne of grace. You spend a great deal of time figuring on your insurance, figuring on your finances, figuring on your preparations for this and that, and your grave plot, and your life will, and all that other stuff, and leave out and neglect all that time you could be spending with the Lord God in prayer. Now, I'm not saying you got to become a hermit and leave off all the other things, but I'm saying you got to give God more time in prayer than He's getting, and He's given you an incentive. If you ask me, in my name, believing that I'll do it, for God's glory, according to His will, without regarding iniquity in your heart, I'm going to do it. Man, you got a blank check with God Almighty. Are you going to get out a pad of paper now and make a list and start praying over that thing? God Almighty bless your soul if you do. I pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.